And so finally, I'd like to introduce Sandy, who's going to tell us a little bit about our presenters this evening.
Good to see everybody here tonight. Thank you all for coming. This is great. Robin Norwood, the book Women Who Love Too Much, says to make recovery your number one priority. And when I started coming to the Sunday morning CODA meeting at the Alano Club 6 years ago, Ray seemed to embody that sentiment. Every time I attend the meeting and Ray shares, I find it valuable and relevant, as I'm sure many others do. Ray has started several step meetings and is currently facilitating a Tuesday step meeting. And for me, he's been a model for how to stay true to yourself and do the hard work that that entails. So it's my great pleasure to present tonight my inspiration, Ray D, as our first speaker tonight. Please welcome Ray.
Thank you. Oh,
that makes sense. You
don't
just
work.
Hold it.
Hi, I'm Ray. I'm a grateful codependent.
Hi, Ray.
This is codependency is the one that I found. Recovering codependency is the one that I found most pertinent to my life. The first meeting I went to scared me to death. It was so clear that I was codependent, and it was such a shock that somebody knew who I was, at least knew what my disease was. I couldn't go back for a month. It just really, really stunned me. But I eventually made my way back because I knew that there was something here that I've been looking for a long time. I started looking for some kind of a clue as to what was going on back in the 70s, that when I graduated from high school. I knew something was weird, and I was always attracted to spiritual things like ghost stories and even religions and stuff. I never really knew what was going on, but I knew that it had something, there was something there. It was a little bit mysterious, but it had to do with me. I didn't grow up in a real spiritual environment. It was more controlled. We were supposed to line up, you know, according to height. And we had hand-me-down shoes a lot of the times and hand-me-down clothes because there were seven of us. And my dad worked in a mill, so there wasn't a whole lot of money. We had to share a lot of stuff. But there was always this attraction towards spiritual things, especially the occult. I don't know why the occult, but I was attracted. I loved ghost stories and stuff, and I just kind of, and angels, you know, that kind of thing. I was always fascinated by this other realm of life that was attractive, you know. This is a program of attraction, not promotion. And I was really attracted to that kind of stuff. I got a job at the Trojan Nuclear Power Plant when they were building it. You know, it's been a while. And one of my friends dug out this book out of the bottom of he had a footlocker or something. He found this book on counseling. It was the modern science of mental health. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Somebody knows something. So I read it, I devoured it, and it had a process in it that we could use one person on another, you know, just like amateurs. And it was supposed to increase the mental health of a person. I thought that was great. That's a really, you know, that's a good start. I could do something like that, and it'd be free, basically. You don't have to pay $100 an hour to get that done. And we could do it whenever we want, as much as we want. And we started doing this thing, and it worked. It worked great. It worked really great. He was blown out. He was laughing and stuff. And the next day, he left and went to Portland and joined this cult. Like, ah, dude, man, what? He just left. I mean, he threw everything away and he left. I thought that was pretty telling, you know. This guy is committed. So I gave it another week, and I told my boss, you know, I'm done here. I'm quitting. I've got this thing I'm going to do. I'm going to join this religion. I'm going to Portland. Goodbye. And they tried to talk me out of it, but I was going. And I told them, a guy's got to do what a guy's got to do. So I left, and I joined this cult. And they took every cent I had, and they took all my unemployment, and I signed a contract. I was there for 3 years working, because I believed in this stuff. I knew that this stuff worked. But in 20 years since the book was produced, it had metamorphosed into this organization, you know, this organization that, and it was very costly, and it was, I had to sign a contract, and I ended up down in the basement working on the filing system. I wasn't happy. It hadn't worked out the way I wanted. But there was a promise there, you know, there was a promise of some improvement. Well, finally, things got worse. Things got really bad. I was out of money. I didn't have a place to live. Basically, I was just poverty-stricken. Everything was gone, and I was dismissed. So I ended up on the streets of Portland with my bicycle and a suitcase and nowhere to go, nowhere. I was afraid, and I was starting to get this hyperglycemic reaction. I was starving. I was getting really paranoid and panicky, and my vision was collapsing. And I was wondering if I was going to be able to get across the Burnside Bridge to a place that would give me some groceries. You know, I'm in on this. I'm in on this, you know. I will sacrifice whatever I have to for this spiritual stuff, whatever that is. Well, I got the groceries. I felt a lot better. I was so thankful. I was so grateful that they'd saved my life. And they said, fine, you know. I told them I didn't have any money. I couldn't pay them back. They said, fine, just when you get back on your feet, you know, you can remember us. I thought that was so cool. You know, what a loving thing to do when I'm out, really down and out. I don't even think I had a tent to live in. Anyway, the next couple of months is kind of a blur. I don't remember a lot. I did find a job. I got back on my feet, but I wasn't going back to that cult. I was not going back. No, that didn't work out for me. I'm not going to put them down, but I didn't have the money, and it just wasn't going to work out. I did find a friend who turned me on to a job at a church, and I was there for quite a while. And I, somewhere along in there, I learned about the 12-step programs, and I attended my first CODA meeting. And like I said, it really shocked me. But I kept coming back, and it seemed to work pretty well. I got into more and more meetings. I got into the Sojourners meeting quite a while later, and we were really working this thing, and we were okay about it. And we decided to do a step study group. We got the book. I think it was a different book at the time. I tried the 12 Steps A Way Out. That was a pretty good one. But we were doing a CODA step study. This was maybe 12 years ago, I guess 10 or 11 years ago, something like that. We weren't really into it that much. I kind of like think of it as like if I took a rock and I skipped it across the water, you know. Nothing really very deep. It would bounce, you know. We would just go along and we'd answer the questions. And most of the time the people wanted to just get current, you know. I did this last week and this happened last week, you know, and this happened last week. And it was never very deep. So we went around again and again and again, and it started getting a little better. We started digging into the stuff. And I think maybe it was the sixth or seventh time through, I started having these little realizations about my life. Things would pop up. It's like, oh, it would explain what was going on in my life, why this was happening, why that was happening. And I started feeling a little better. I was actually getting into this stuff, you know, kind of digging a little bit deeper into this stuff. It was very rewarding, and then it really took off. And then I got blown away again. CODA keeps doing that to me. CODA keeps blowing me out of the water. It's like playing that little game where you sink the battleship. You got, you know, you plug it along, all of a sudden, boom, and it just blows up. It's like, wow, what happened there, you know? Ooh, I can't think for a while. I got to go away from meetings for a while. I can't think, you know. I got to ground myself a little bit. So that, you know, that was a little bothersome because I'd never realized that I could take a little bit, but when it really started to come on deep and things really started to happen, when the energy really started to break free, you know, I got a little freaked out, and I learned that there's a thing about fear of success, that it wasn't any more about fear of the what's going on in my basement, you know. I can rattle around in my basement and find all kinds of stuff down there in the dark, but since there's so many great people here, we do it together, which is really nice. It's not, I don't have my own flashlight. There's a whole bunch of flashlights going down in my basement. That really helps. So these things kind of backed me off for a little while. But I always came back. I always wanted more. Really thirsty. I'm thirsty for this spiritual thing. I just, you know, my hands get a little sweaty, and I want more. I'm not an addict. Not me. And I heard that addiction, even to good stuff. Oh, there's some good addictions. No, there's no good addictions. There's none. There's no good addictions. But this was just so attractive to me. It was just, it was like I'm in a desert and I'm, you know, really parched, and somebody gives me a drink, and then I find out that there's an oasis and there's all kinds of water, and I got to get there, and these are the steps to get to this oasis. I can drink, especially when my higher power is the drink. That's the really sweet part of it. I wanted lately, this is in the last couple years, like the eighth or ninth time through these steps, something really started to change, and I don't know exactly what it was, but I opened myself up to whatever my higher power had in store for me. Because this was such a fantastic voyage, I just said, you know, it's up to you, kind of, that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. You know, you show me a little bit of what's going on and what the potential is, how much potential there is for this thing. And so I was led to study some films by Brian Greene about quantum mechanics and how this place was built, how the universe was built, how it's operating, and what the atomic structure is saying about what potential there is for life. And I think that this program kind of dwells on that a little bit. It kind of dips down into that field of potentiality, the probability that life can happen and life can improve and life can have energy, and it's unlimited. I mean, for Pete's sakes, they can explode radioactive material, and because it's already almost exploding by itself with all of the radioactive stuff coming off of it. There's such a massive amount of energy tucked up in these atoms, and then we got these other atoms that aren't radioactive that are even, there's more energy in those holding them together. The potential is incredible. So my higher power has let me give a little bit of energy and life, and I really appreciate that. Life is really important. I know that life is a potential in this universe. Life is a potential at all times. On any planet and with any cell, with any atom at all, there's a potential for life. Now, I'm not trying to get specific as far as a religion goes, but that's what I've studied and learned in science, is that this matter that's all through the universe has a potential in it to create life. It's just built into it. And I don't understand that, but now that I know that I'm a co-creator and all that, and possibly everybody else is too, along with a higher power, there's no limit. There's no limit to where CODA can take me, can take other people too. It's just endless. The energy here is just phenomenal. I've never, you know, I've studied from the 70s on religions, philosophies, Native American ceremonies, Dianetic, Scientology, all that stuff, counseling. I've studied all of that stuff, and nothing has even come close to what CODA can release. That's the part that I love, is the release of energy that comes. And even Robert Noah says that, you know, when we stop trying to manipulate and control and manage other people, there's a vast amount of energy that can be released for my own life, for my self-discovery, for my own hobbies, for the way that I want to live life. And I am thirsty for that energy. I spent so many years stuck in codependency, which is kind of a, you know, it kind of feeds on itself. It's not, it's like all my energy goes into caring for others and worrying about others, and all that energy just gets somehow it gets sucked into this horrible, vicious little succubus that swallows all the energy, you know, and then I don't have it for use anymore. And CODA helps release that energy, especially when I stop trying to manage other people and I focus on myself. That energy lately has been pretty sweet. Has been recently I was thinking, you know, part of my recovery, since it's an inside job, is I was reminded that when I was in school in the first grade, second grade, and the nuns were up there, I was in a nunnery, and I was studying and stuff, it was kind of boring. And I would be sitting there, and, you know, I'd be done with my studies, and I'd be looking outside, you know, and they had a swing set way across the way, and I never got it because there's 500 kids there or so, and we never got a chance to get to the swing sets. And when the bell would ring, there'd be this huge bunch of exhilaration that would boil out. Because I'm a kid, you know. All this excitement. So I would race out there, and we'd get on the swings. We had a great time, you know. And it was just this huge bunch of energy. And over the years, over this, you know, the years, it's kind of calmed down. And I never really felt that joy, that life flowing like that anymore. It never lifted me anywhere. It was always, well, I have hopes and dreams, but there's this energy is not there anymore. It's somehow it's disappeared. Maybe it's life. Maybe it's my genes. Maybe it's just experience. I don't know. Maybe it's getting older. But now it's starting to come back. And it's really something to have this energy. You know, we're taught and we're encouraged, suggested that we share our experience, our strength, and our hope. Well, I never had an idea that recovery for me to get back something, you know, to recover what I lost. I never kind of thought maybe it was what I had as a child. When I was a child, I had all of this energy, all of this life. You know, I had a new body. It could pass waste out really easy and get the food really easy, you know, and it had a lot of instantaneous energy, real combustible type of energy that I could use to just run and play and stuff. And when it goes away, it's like I want to recover. I want it back. I want the spiritual life back. I want that back. I want emotions back. I want my sanity back. And now that I've done this stuff for a while, it's starting to come back, and it's starting to come back in a really strong way. I usually have to kind of try to contain myself. It just doesn't work. I've been told over and over and over again to contain myself. And well, fuck you! I'm not going to contain myself. You can stick it up your ass. I'm not going to contain myself. I'm going to grow, and I'm going to have a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. There is no lack of life in that spirit.